Pastor Ray Bentley points out how David was king by divine appointment and how it bears strong similarities to the way Jesus was King of Kings.
Jesus came on Palm Sunday and said, "Here I am. I am your Savior. I am your Messiah." But he didn't come the way that they wanted. And so also, David's brothers, they don't like the way that he came. Who's David? We haven't chosen him. No, that's right. David was chosen by God because God saw what was inside of his heart.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. It's been said Jesus is woven throughout the scriptures. Even when he's not mentioned by name, we find truth related to the Savior everywhere. Today, Pastor Ray gives a case in point. We're studying the life of David and his rise to the throne. And in the story, we'll get glimpses of Jesus, the coming Messiah.
Let's open our Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 2 and 3. Let's begin in verse 1 of chapter 2. It says, "It happened after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, 'Shall I go up to any of the cities of Judah?' And the Lord said to him, 'Go up.' And David said, 'Where shall I go up?' He said to him, 'Hebron.' So David went up there, and his two wives also, Ahinoam and the Jezreelitess, Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite. And David brought up the men who were with him, every man with his household. So they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. Then the men of Judah came, and there they anointed him king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying, 'The men of Jabesh Gilead were the ones who buried Saul.' So David sent some messengers to Jabesh Gilead, and he said to them, 'You are blessed of the Lord, for you have shown this kindness to your Lord, to Saul, and have buried him. And now may the Lord show kindness and truth to you. I also will repay you this kindness because you have done this thing. Now therefore, let your hands be strengthened and be valiant, for your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah has anointed me king over them.' But Abner, the son of Ner, commander of Saul's army, took Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim. And he made him king over Gilead, over the Asherites, over Jezreel, over Ephraim, over Benjamin, and over all Israel. Ishbosheth, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he began to reign over Israel, and he reigned 2 years. Only the house of Judah followed David. And the time that David was king in Hebron over the house of Judah was 7.5 years. Now, there's still tension between Saul's family, who are still their sons, wanting to be king, and tension between the north and the south. Judah says, "David's our boy. He's from our tribe. Yes, we have no problem. Of course he would pick Judah to be the king of Israel." Well, the other tribes are not quite there yet. But David, in a sign that he is ready to be king not only over one tribe, but all the tribes, picks Jabesh Gilead, which are from the north. His rivals still. And David reaches out to the north. He reaches out to the men of Jabesh Gilead, and he prays a blessing on them. Look with me back in verse 5. So David sent messengers to the men of Jabesh Gilead, you might say to the north, their rivals, their enemies, the house of Saul, still there, and said, "You are blessed of the Lord." It was an offer of true forgiveness, intended to reach out to heal the hearts of all the northern tribes of Israel. And yet, what we're going to find in the very next couple of verses is David reaches out, blesses these men as exemplary from the north, and they take his words with contempt. And for the next 7.5 years, they reject David. So we read then, beginning in verse 8. It says, "But Abner, the son of Ner, commander of Saul's army, took Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim. And he made him king over Gilead, the Asherites, over Jezreel, over Ephraim, and over Benjamin, and over all Israel." Now, what's really happening is that Ishbosheth is Saul's son. So everybody in the north would say, "Okay, Saul has died. Jonathan has died. Who's next in line?" Ishbosheth. And they had adopted this belief and this culture that a family had royal blood, And so it needs to be a son of Saul who will be the king of Israel. But Ishbosheth was a weakling. He was not a leader. He was not a warrior. And basically, Abner, who was the commander, the general of the armies of the north, puts Ishbosheth in as king in kind of he puts him there just for show. Abner is the one who is the power behind the throne. He wants to resist David. And so he's using the royal line of Ishbosheth because Ishbosheth is weak and can be manipulated, and thus he thrusts Israel into a civil war with their brothers down in Judah. So we begin in verse 12. Now Abner, the son of Ner, and the servants of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, went out from Mahanaim to Gibeon. And Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and the servants of David went out and met them by the pool of Gibeon. Aha. So now we have the northern armies on one side. We have the southern armies of David, of just one tribe, on the other side. And they've gathered at the pool of Gibeon. So they sat down, one on the one side of the pool, and the other on the other side of the pool. And then in verse 14, Abner said to Joab, "Let the young men now arise and compete before us." And Joab said, "Let them arise." So again, rather than having the full-scale battle, they're going to let the young men go out and battle it out. Kind of remember when Goliath went out for the Philistines, "I'll take your best man." And whoever won, then that nation would win the war. Well, they're kind of doing a similar thing on another scale right here. So they arose and went over by number 12 from Benjamin, followers of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and 12 from the servants of David. Look at this in verse 16. Each one grasped his opponent by the head and thrust his sword in his opponent's side. So they fell down together. Therefore, that place was called the Field of Sharp Swords. I guess so. Golly, grabbed him. I mean, these guys have been following David around, and they've had to survive. They are raw. They are strong. They grab him by the hair. They stab him in the side, and basically, there's really not much of a battle at all. David's men win. And so there was a very fierce battle that day, and Abner and the men of Israel, verse 17, were beaten before the servants of David. Now the three sons of Zeruiah were there, Joab and Abishai and Azahel, and Azahel was as fleet of foot as a wild gazelle. So Azahel pursued Abner, and in going he did not turn to the right hand or to the left from following Abner. Now remember, Abner is the commander of the northern armies. Then Abner looked behind him and he said, "Are you Azahel?" And he answered, "I am." Now they're still running and talking. "Hey, is that Azahel?" And he goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Well, what are you doing chasing me?" Abner said to him, "Turn aside to your right hand or to your left and lay hold of one of the young men. Take his armor for yourself." In other words, this guy's just running. He has no sword. Abner's got a sword and he's running and he's looking over his shoulder and he says, "Hey, turn over, get a sword from that guy and we'll have it out." Abner wanted to kind of be fair, but Azahel would not turn aside. He wouldn't grab a sword. So Abner said again to Azahel, "Turn aside from following me. Why should I strike you to the ground? How then could I face your brother Joab?" Here's where it gets a little tricky. Because Azahel's brother is Joab. Now, as Abner is the commander of the armies of the north, Joab is the general of the armies of the south. And now Joab's brother is chasing Abner. And he's going after him. He wants to fight with him. And Abner realizes, if I kill this kid, he's probably a younger kid. If I kill him, I'm not just fighting with Azahel. I got to go after Joab. And Abner's, I think, afraid. So he refused to turn aside. Therefore, Abner struck him in the stomach with the blunt end of the spear. So he didn't even use the sharp end of the spear. He turned it around and just was going to hit him hard to kind of, you know, stop him. But then it says he struck him so hard that it came out his back. Man, I guess it wasn't that blunt. It came out his back. Jeez, how blunt could it be? But anyway. And he fell down there and he died on the spot. He didn't want that to happen either. So it was that as many as came to the place where Azahel fell down and died stood still. So now there's all these guys, probably others from the tribe of Judah, standing around going, "Oh, look what you just did. Oh, man." So Joab and Abishai also pursued Abner, and the sun was going down when they came to the hill of Ammah, which is before Gia, by the road to the wilderness of Gibeon. You guys know where that is anyway. Now the children of Benjamin gathered together behind Abner and became a unit and took their stand on top of a hill. Then Abner called to Joab and said, "Shall the sword devour forever? Do you not know that it will be bitter in the latter end? How long will it then be until you tell the people to return from pursuing their brothers?" And Joab said, "As God lives." See, now Abner was ready to fight to the death before, but now all of a sudden, "Hey, you're our brothers. Can't we all get along?" And in verse 27, "As God lives, unless you had spoken, surely then by morning all the people would have given up pursuing their brethren." So Joab blew a trumpet, and all the people stood still and did not pursue Israel anymore, nor did they fight anymore. Then Abner and his men went on all that night through the plain, crossed over the Jordan, went through all Bithron, and they came to Mahanaim. So Joab returned from pursuing Abner. And when he had gathered all the people together, there were missing of David's servants 19 men and Asahel. But the servants of David had struck down of Benjamin and Abner's men 360 men who died. So it was quite a battle. It went from just the dozen to now hundreds who have died. Then they took up Asahel and buried him in his father's tomb, which was in Bethlehem, and Joab and his men went all night, and they came to Hebron at daybreak. Now, chapter 3, verse 1. And again, as I think about, David is still not being accepted, this civil war that's going on. And think about Jesus. When Jesus came to his own rejected him. They did not receive him. They did not believe in him, though some did. There was a remnant that believed in him. But he was the King of Kings. He did come on Palm Sunday as the King of Israel. He came as the crowned anointed. In fact, that's what Messiah means. The anointed one. Jesus came on Palm Sunday and said, "Here I am. I am your Savior. I am your Messiah. I am your sacrifice. I am your Passover lamb." And he wanted them to proclaim him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But he didn't come the way that they wanted. And so also, we find that David's brothers, they don't like the way that he came. Who's David? He's from the south. He's from Judah. What do we have to do with him and his family? And we haven't approved of him. We haven't chosen him. No, that's right. David was chosen by God because God saw what was inside of his heart. And so we read in chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "Now there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David." Essentially, there was a civil war that lasted 7.5 years. Now, all of us in going to school, we learn about the Civil War of the United States of America, where literally families on either side would be fighting each other. And all the souls that died in the fields of battle for the struggle of this nation. And then it gives the interesting little addition. It says, "But David grew stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker. Now it was so, while there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David, that Abner was strengthening his hold on the house of Saul. And Saul had a concubine whose name was Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah. So Ishbosheth said to Abner, 'Why have you gone into my father's concubine?' Then Abner became very angry at the words of Ishbosheth and said, 'Am I a dog's head that belongs to Judah? Today I show loyalty to the house of Saul, your father, to his brothers and to his friends, and have not delivered you into the hand of David, and you charge me today with fault concerning this woman?'" Now the reality is that Abner had no business with this concubine. And it's also true that Ishbosheth had no business with a concubine. It was part of the compromise that was going on there. But Ishbosheth is weak, and so Abner says, "Hey, why am I defending you? You treat me like this? I will turn to David." So in verse 9, "May God do so to Abner, and more also, if I do not do for David as the Lord has sworn to him." I mean, it's basically all over for the northern kingdom at that point. He says to transfer the kingdom from the house of Saul and set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah from Dan to Beersheba. And he could not answer Abner another word because he feared him. Then Abner sent messengers on his behalf to David, saying, Whose is the land? Saying also, make your covenant with me, and indeed my hand shall be with you, and to bring all Israel to you. And David said, good, I will make a covenant with you, but one thing I require of you, you shall not see my face unless you bring first Michal, Saul's daughter, when you come to see my face. So David sent messengers to Ish-bosheth, Saul's son, saying, give me my wife Michal, whom I betrothed to myself for 100 foreskins of the Philistines. And Ish-bosheth sent and took her from her husband, from Paltiel, the son of Laish. Then her husband went along with her to Bahurim, weeping behind her. So Abner said to him, go, return. And he returned. I guess Abner was a bad dude. He just says, hey, go. She's not yours anymore. David wants her. So now Abner had communicated with the elders of Israel, saying, in time past, you were seeking for David to be king over you. Now then, do it. For the Lord has spoken of David, saying, by the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel from the hand of the Philistines and the hand of all their enemies. And Abner also spoke in the hearing of Benjamin. Then Abner also went to speak in the hearing of David in Hebron, all that seemed good to Israel and the house of Benjamin. So Abner and 20 men with him came to David at Hebron, and David made a feast for Abner and the men who were with him. Then Abner said to David, I will arise and go and gather all Israel to my lord the king, that they may make a covenant with you, and that you may reign over all that your heart desires. So David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. Now, follow along. We've got a little more reading to do, and then we'll summarize. It says, at that moment, the servants of David and Joab came from a raid and brought much spoil with them. But Abner was not with David in Hebron, for he had been sent away, and he had gone in peace. When Joab and all the troops that were with him had come, they told Joab, saying, Abner, the son of Ner, came to the king, and he sent him away, and he has gone in peace. Remember, Abner killed Joab's brother? Joab says, what? Abner is here? Then Joab said to the king, what have you done? Look, Abner came to you. Why is it that you sent him away and he has already gone? Surely you realize that Abner, the son of Ner, came to deceive you, to know you're going out and you're coming in, and to know all that you were doing. And when Joab had gone from David's presence, he sent messengers after Abner, who brought him back from the well of Sirah. But David did not know it. Now when Abner had returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak to him privately. Hey, Abner, come here, I want to talk to you. And there he stabbed him in the stomach so that he died for the blood of Azahel, his brother. Afterward, when David heard it, he said, my kingdom and I are guiltless before the Lord forever of the blood of Abner, the son of Ner. Let it rest on the head of Joab and on all his father's house, and let there never fail to be in the house of Joab one who has a discharge or is a leper, who leans on his staff or falls by the sword or lacks bread. Wow, that's not very nice, is it? How would you like to have that curse on your head? First he had reached out to the north by honoring Jabesh-Gilead. Now he is distancing himself from his own general, saying, I didn't authorize you to kill anybody. Joab, you don't get to make up the rules and do as you please. You are here defending the anointing that God has given to me. And now I distance myself from you. God will not bless you because you've taken vengeance in your own hands. And that's a powerful lesson. So, closing, verse 30 says, so Joab and Abishai, his brother, killed Abner because he had killed their brother Azahel at Gibeon in the battle. Then David said to Joab and to all the people who were with him, tear your clothes. Now, probably in his heart, Joab wasn't mourning at all. But David is telling him in Middle Eastern custom, you will mourn this man that you have murdered. Now again, David's acting like a king. He is reaching out in forgiveness to the north. He is rebuking those who are in a power struggle that are supposedly to be loyal to him and to the anointing God's given to him. So in verse 32, they buried Abner in Hebron, and the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. And the king sang a lament over Abner. Now, again, David shows his heart. Abner is the general of the army that has led the other 11 tribes for 7.5 years. They've killed hundreds of David's people. Hundreds, have died in this battle over the years. And yet David laments over him. Should Abner die as a fool dies? Your hands were not bound, nor your feet put into fetters. As a man falls before wicked men, so you fell. Then all the people wept over him again. And when all the people came to persuade David to eat food while it was still day, David took an oath, saying, God, do so to me and more also, if I taste bread or anything else till the sun goes down. Now all the people took note of it. And that's not just all the people from Judah. That's the people from the other 11 tribes of Israel. They said, wow, the king is really grieving over the death of the man who led civil war against him for 7.5 years. Wow. Maybe he is our king. Maybe he is the one. Now all the people took note of it, and it pleased them, since whatever the king did pleased all the people. For all the people and all Israel understood that day that it had not been the king's intent to kill Abner the son of Ner. And I love verse 37. For all the people and all Israel understood that day it had not been the king's intent to kill Abner, the son of Ner. Then the king said to his servants, do you not know that a prince and a great man has fallen this day in Israel? So this would soothe the hearts of those who are in the north. And he says, and I am weak today, though anointed king. I like that. I am weak today, though anointed king. May I say that David's tenderness of heart shows that he truly is the anointed king and God's chosen. The one thought that I have, the lessons of eternity, there are three things that I see here. Number one, God often accomplishes his will in unexpected ways. Who would have ever guessed that the way God had arranged for David to start ascending to the throne over all of Israel would come from Abner having an affair with one of Saul's concubines? Who would have ever guessed that that would lead to, ultimately, David being crowned king over all Israel? Number two, we learn from both Abner and Joab to avoid the twin temptations of sexual sin and pride. To avoid those at all costs. And thirdly and finally, we learn that God is no respecter of persons. God brings and meets out his justice for all. God is not mocked. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. And if we sow to the flesh, we will of the flesh reap corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit, we will reap reward and eternal life.
Important insights today from 2 Samuel, as Pastor Ray Bentley has led our study here on Maranatha Radio. And next time, we'll get back to our studies in the life of David. Now, to get a permanent copy of today's message, just contact us and mention the title of the study. It's The Growing Kingdom, and we can send it to you for just $7. Again, the message title is The Growing Kingdom. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series on the life of David on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com. Or here's where to write: Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Much of the Bible is history. Prophecy, however, is a glimpse of the future. It's imperative we have a clear, comprehensive understanding of what's to come and how we can be prepared. Well, Pastor Ray offers that in his new book, The Holy Land Key.
All of the signs, all of the seasons, all of the patterns are converging. And I believe that the next few years are going to be some of the most exciting times that we've ever lived through. Challenging, also revealing, and God is going to be glorified. He's ready to pour out His Spirit. His kingdom is coming. His kingdom is on the way. And I can't wait for you to read and to hear more about it and get excited for the return of Christ.
Jerry Jenkins, author of the Left Behind series, says Ray Bentley has immersed himself in the land of the book and the people of the land. His challenge to not only study prophecy, but also to live it, rings with the clarity of a bell. He makes an ancient subject come alive, and I found this book riveting and convicting and moving. Get your copy of The Holy Land Key. The subtitle is Unlocking End Times Prophecy Through the Lives of God's People in Israel. It's available in our online store at maranatharadio.com. And if God has made an impact on your life through Pastor Ray's teaching, would you let him know? Drop a note in the mail or find him on Facebook, facebook.com/Pastor Ray Bentley. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies of the life of David. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.